And now it's time for On Our Minds. This 4th of July weekend, historian Harvey Kay joins us with a fresh take on one of America's greatest presidents, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. In a new book called The Fight for the Four Freedoms, Harvey argues that Roosevelt understood democracy in a way our current political leaders on both sides of the aisle have forgotten. Steve Paulson sat down with Harvey Kay to talk about what made FDR so great.
Harvey, you are offering a vision for today's progressives, and you go back to Franklin Roosevelt for inspiration. Why FDR?
Why FDR? FDR was one of the three great presidents in America, the three greatest presidents in American history. But what he did is something very special. He articulated what was on Americans' minds and in their anxieties, their hopes and aspirations in the face of a devastating depression, the worst economic and social catastrophe in American history. And in doing that, he didn't just say, let's rally to defeat the Great Depression. Let's rally to provide relief and recovery. He actually had a deeper sense of what American history entailed. And he mobilized Americans to not only do all of that, but also to reconstruct and reform America. And, you know, that line, don't waste a crisis. Well, it wasn't don't waste a crisis. It's what do we do in the face of crisis? And he was that kind of president. Mm.
Well, and it's worth pointing out that, I mean, he was elected president first in 1932. And this came after a long period of a very conservative stretch in American politics, I mean, throughout the 1920s. So he was really sort of leading the charge for a new kind of politics in this country.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. In fact, there was a speech he gave in 1912 in the midst of the Gilded Age. He's apparently trying to come to grips with what can Americans do? What can Americans do in the face of extraordinary concentration of economic power? And he talks about how if the 19th century and earlier years was about the freedom of the individual, what do we do now about the freedom of the community? That is, how do we develop a sense of community and cooperation amongst working and middle-class people that will enable them to deal with this concentration of economic power? And this is a question that, even though he has yet to answer it fully, it's a question that really does, it goes on and on in his mind. And you can see that when he runs for president in 1932, 20 years later, that he actually talks about this in a speech at the Commonwealth Club in San Francisco, the same problem of, look, we've developed our economy, we've empowered individuals, and we've allowed for these titans of industry to develop. How do we respond? How do we answer that? And he said, we have to go back to the Declaration and the intentions of the founders, you know, a kind of social contract that was created, which declared life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What can we do to reassure that, to reaffirm that, and move ahead? And he actually calls in 1932, before he's elected president, for an economic declaration of rights. And then if you think about it, this is what's compelling him all of these years, such that in 1941, in the speech that I made the point of my whole book, The Four Freedoms, he actually projects, he proclaims, he pronounces four freedoms: freedom of speech, freedom of worship, freedom from want, and freedom from fear.
So why was FDR so successful politically?
Well, I think it's because, he had this extraordinary faith in America. He had this extraordinary faith in God, and his extraordinary faith in his fellow citizens. And what makes him successful is he translates, or he expresses that faith by asking Americans, as I was saying before, by inviting them to take charge of America, to lay claim to the United States as their own, and literally to truly redeem America's purpose and promise.
Isn't that pretty much what all national politicians try to do?
Well, all politicians try to make promises, and all politicians rally you to vote for them. And they lay out this vision of, it's shorthand, take back America, you know, take back the real America. But the difference is that whereas Roosevelt talked like that, he actually did that. And what do I mean by that? So, for example, in every one of the initiatives of the New Deal, however much they might have gotten watered down by conservatives in Congress, especially the white supremacists from the South in Congress who controlled congressional committees at that time, in every one of those initiatives, the National Industrial Recovery Act, the Agricultural Adjustment Act, later the WPA, from first New Deal to second New Deal and beyond, there is always built into those initiatives an element of participation, of not only give us your labor, but give us your democratic participation. The fact that the National Industrial Recovery Act calls for the organizing of labor unions if workers wish to have them. The Agricultural Adjustment Act provided for workers to serve on committees to establish production quotas and pricings and the like. It wasn't just engaging Americans. It was empowering of Americans. And I think that that's what made him the great president he was. And if I can, you know, jump to the present, if you like, my students in 2008 were so enthused, were so determined to see an Obama presidency. I mean, they really did believe that when he said, yes, we can, he meant, yes, we can. Roosevelt, Obama, they seemed to be the same in 2008 if you looked at the magazine covers. And then as president, however much his rhetoric was magnificent and high-sounding, it's the fact is he never actually engaged people in the yes, we can.
What do you mean by that? Why do you say that?
Well, for example, there was no National Works Progress Administration. There was no national CCC, Civilian Conservation Corps, to get young people to become involved in saving the environment, doing something about the environment. There was no National Youth Administration to involve young people in work-study jobs to secure and guarantee their education rather than see tuition rising, rising, and rising.
So you're saying that Obama had an opportunity there and he missed it?
I believe Obama had an opportunity. I mean, the difference between the fall of 2008 and the fall of 2009 was stark. It wasn't just the rise of the Tea Party, which, by the way, told us a great deal about the failure of Obama to enable and empower labor to turn out in the public square before the Koch brothers had the Tea Party turn out in the public square. It's also the fact that when I talked to my students in the fall of 2009, it was as if it wasn't just disappointment. It was almost a disenchantment. They were on the verge of a cynicism that said, well, what do we do? You know, there was this sort of understanding that Roosevelt had that there were things he wanted to do. He couldn't always do them on his own. But if the pressure were brought to bear, it would enable him to confront Congress should the questions arise. That's the kind of president that we all, I believe, imagine we would see in the face of the crisis of 2007, 2008. And somehow we failed to get that. I mean, we've seen many an accomplishment in this administration. But I think the hopes of a new FDR... Obama is no FDR.
Historian Harvey Kaye is the author of The Fight for the Four Freedoms, What Made FDR and the Greatest Generation Truly Great. Steve Paulson talked with him, and that's what's on our minds today. But we post new On Our Minds segments on our website every day, and that's at ttbook.org.